You know, last year of the Obama administration wanted to bomb Syria. And they used as an excuse to bomb them is that Assad was gassing his children with these chemical weapons. And that was all over the media. And so they wanted to go bomb them, and they only had 9% support from the American people. Okay, we got to do something better. Well, what are Americans afraid of? Americans are afraid of terrorists. So we got to create this huge terrorist organization, and we'll bombing them.
Let's go back to some of the things that you're planning to do. You've begun a film about Rachel Corrie, who was also an enigmatic hero, let's say, of Palestinian rights, and who was killed by bulldozer in Israel. Can you tell us more about that? I mean, the story of Rachel Corrie. I mean, people, do they have any connections with the story today after the wars that we had with the 50-day war in Israel and between the Palestinians?
Well, unfortunately, most Americans don't know who she is. She was a girl that was raised in the state of Washington, you know, a beautiful place up there in Olympia, Washington. And she got involved in the end of the peace movement, and like you said, she went to Gaza. She saw a lot of the atrocities, and then she was killed. And what the movie, this is going to be a feature film, it's not going to be a documentary, and so that way we can reach a lot more people than you can with a documentary. But it's a very compelling story, and it's not just about her, but it's about her parents. Her parents who try to get justice for her daughter, that try to immortalize her. We're going to have Iranian producers on this movie. I wrote the screenplay, and we're going to shoot probably 40% of it up in the state of Washington, and the rest perhaps in Lebanon, that will represent Gaza. I don't think we're going to get permission to shoot in Gaza.
Yeah, maybe not. Do you think that what Rachel Corrie did was also effective in the fact of opening some eyes during the events that happened between Israel and Palestinians?
Sure, it did at the time, but it's been 11 years, and people have forgotten. So that's what we want to do, is to remind the people, and then but also for the younger generation, to let them know, because they don't know the story of Rachel Corrie. And when they see the whole thing on TV or on the big screen at the movies, and they see the suffering of the people in Gaza, I think it'll have a big effect on the younger people.
How did people react to the suffering of people in Gaza during these wars? I mean, what were the reactions of the people?
I suppose there was a lot of people that were outraged, but a lot of people that are indifferent to it. You know, in the American media, they justify it. You know, they justify that, well, you know, the...
By taking sides?
Sure. Well, it was, you know, they make you believe, you know, even though there's absolutely no evidence of this whatsoever, they make you believe that Hamas had gone into Israel and kidnapped three teenage Israeli boys and killed them. Well, you know, of course, that's not true, but that's not what you were led to believe in the American media. So they justify this that, well, the Israelis had to come over and bomb Hamas. You know, not knowing that, well, no, they're just, you know, killing civilians there. That had nothing to do with it, and even Hamas had nothing to do with it. But that's the justification. So there are, unfortunately, people in America that can justify that. And a lot of them are from, you know, of course, you know, the Zionists who are always justify it, but a lot of them from the Christian communities justify that also, that this is something that needed to be done.
But there was also an overwhelming reaction to defending Palestinians, apparently through social media. People reacted quite well.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that like I say, with the young people that are not brainwashed by the mainstream media, that it did affect them, that this is something they didn't know about prior to that attack. And they know about it now. So that was helpful through the social media.
Now, there's also a question about these people who are now mercenaries, people who come from different countries around the world to go and fight in Iraq, in Syria, in other countries. Who are these people and how are they funded? How do they manage? Is it only because of their belief or are they funded in different ways?
Franklin Lam, who I met here in Tehran at the Hollywoodism Conference, he interviewed some of these young men that are part of the Islamic State, and he says, they're not religious at all. It's just a job. You know, the economic situation in the Middle East, in Syria, and the Palestinian camps, you know, it's pretty bad. And even in Saudi Arabia, you know, there's a tremendous wealth. It's all controlled by this one family. And so there's people that need the work. And these people become mercenaries. I think that the what triggered the actual civil war that they have going on in Syria has to do with a gas contract. Underneath the Persian Gulf is the largest known natural gas deposit in the world. And it is shared by Qatar and Iran. Now, Qatar had this idea that they were going to use this huge pipeline. They were going to run it through Qatar, through Saudi Arabia, through Syria, through Turkey, and this would feed all of Europe with their natural gas. Syria said, you know, we really can't do this. We have really close ties with Russia, and Russia right now is providing the natural gas to Europe, and economically they wouldn't really like this, and it could hurt us. And they said, all right. Well, then Syria signs a contract with Iran to come out of that, you know, same parse gas and run a pipeline through Iran, through Iraq, through Syria, down into the Mediterranean Sea, come up in Greece, and that would serve all of Europe. So the Qatar and Saudi Arabia and Turkey obviously didn't like that. And they started funding these terror groups inside of Syria to try to overthrow the Assad regime. Now, it wasn't successful. The Syrians were able to hold them off, and so that's why they needed to get more support from other nations like the United States, you know, for the aerial support and and eventually maybe even ground troops. But the excuse of that the United States is going in there to bomb ISIS, which, you know, our allies created, you know, of course, is false. You know, we're going over there to overthrow Assad and replace it with a puppet government.
You say ISIS, and there's also we mentioned also ISIL with the Levant. Do you think that the Levant, it's this big map of the Middle East, which is the Mesopotamia of the ancient times, which lies, like you said, the gas and the oil, which many would like to have. Do you think this is the only part, the economy of the war, or also the beliefs of going against Islam, which is the excuse, of course, and do you think this is something which could have a reasoning to the funding of these people who are going there?
Well, the funding is all economic, and they may be able to recruit some fighters based on religious But the money behind it is all economic. And, you know, what the Western media tries to tell the American public is that ISIS or ISIL, and it's the same organization. You know, Obama says ISIL, and then other pundits say ISIS, and it's the same thing. But what they try to explain to the American people is, well, these people have captured these oil facilities, and they're bringing millions of dollars, and that's how they're funding this. Well, that's completely false. They had all their brand new trucks, they had all their weapons, they had all of their salaries for their mercenaries. All that was in place before they ever took over any oil field. So it was all there, and it's not that hard to find out what they're getting their funding from. I saw something from somebody that said, well, why don't you just go to the Department of Motor Vehicles and look up who bought the trucks? You know, how difficult would that be, you know, for an intelligence agency to do that? Who bought the trucks? You know, and so that would be really easy to do, and but of course they don't want to do that because that would open up a whole new can of worms and find out who's really funding this.
But many say there are a lot of Persian Gulf countries as well who are participating in the funding and who have
Qatar and Saudi Arabia. I mean, they're the main funders of the of that, and even the last year when they had the chemical weapons attack inside of Syria and then tried to blame the Assad government for that, the rebels that had actually fired those weapons, they said they didn't know they were full of chemical weapons. They received those from Saudi Arabia, and they just shot them off like they were supposed to do. They didn't realize that there were chemical weapons in there, and they were a little bit upset because they felt that their own lives were in danger from handling these things that they weren't told.
And so this new coalition, which Obama is trying to create, which is supposed to be 50 countries, but now I think there are only five or six countries supporting this coalition, which hasn't had any okay from the General Assembly and the United Nations. Do you think that they are really determined to overthrow the ISIL or the ISIS?
I know. That's just a prop. You know, that's just to say that's why we're going in there. I think that one of the military airport, one of the main airports in Syria, the ISIS has done this propaganda video to say that they had overtaken this airport. And the Syrian government says, no, they're not. But, you know, so we'll go over there and we'll bomb the airport. Say, oh, yeah, ISIS was there. We have to bomb them. So it's just an excuse.
Okay. Do you think there's any future for the Middle East, for a better future of peace? Just in last words.
Yeah, I think really there is, but people in Western countries, mainly in America, have to understand what's going on. And because most people, you know, the 99% of the people in America, they're good people, and if they really knew what was going on, they wouldn't support all of these wars and invasions. They just simply wouldn't, and it would have to stop. So I think, you know, and that's my goal as a movie producer, is to inform the American people of the truth of what's happening.
Thank you, Art Olivier, for joining us for this face-to-face.
Thank you.